All right, welcome to church. First time coming back since the pandemic? First time back? Yeah. First time, LA 1 in the house? Woo, one person from LA 1. LA 2? Nobody? Woo, back there, Hasi in the Heights? Woo, all by himself, Isaac up here. Well, it's good to have you guys back. It's good to see you guys. It's good to be preaching in front of a live audience. I think this is like the first time in like 2 years for me preaching in front of people. So it's just good to be back. It's good to worship with all of you guys. It's a packed house in here. It's good to see all of you. Before we get into the word, I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself because, you know, I'm preaching today, so I'm going to talk about myself a little bit. But, you know, a lot of people call me carefree, or they call me pretty chill and simple-minded. Not simple-minded, but simple. Simple. And I don't have a lot of thoughts going on in my mind all the time. My wife would, when we were dating, she would always ask, what are you thinking about? And I would say, I'm thinking about absolutely nothing. There's nothing going on in my mind, right? Whereas for her, she's got like a million thoughts going on in her mind. She's got, you know, you guys been watching all the Marvel multiverse universe, multi-universes happening at the same time. She's got like all the Marvel universe happening on one side of the mind, and then she's got DC universe, and they meet together. Like her thoughts are endless, whereas mine are a little bit more streamlined, right? But then, you know what? Something happened. I like to call it my personal Nexus event. You guys know about Nexus event with Loki. You guys have been watching that. So what happened was, you know, what happened was I had kids, and you know what happens? A million thoughts just explode in your mind, right? You guys, all the parents who had kids during the pandemic, you feel me, right? All of a sudden, you're like, oh my gosh, I am responsible for a human being. I'm responsible for a life. You know, are they eating enough? Are they sleeping enough? Is this poop okay? You touch the poop just to make sure it's okay. You do all sorts of crazy things because you have so many thoughts in your mind and you're so anxious. This feeling of anxiousness occurs, right? And it never stops. As they get older, you think, will they have enough friends? Will they have enough? Will they make something of themselves? Are they going to do well in school? All these feelings of anxiety stir in my heart, and I finally understood, like, this feeling of anxiety is always with me. It never leaves, because you're always worried, right? And there's so many things to be worried about, so many things to be anxious about, right? And, you know, before I talk about the anxiety in our hearts, I want to first address, you know, if you have clinical anxiety, you should get professional help, right? Those are all part of the tool set to help you become a healthier you. We just had the podcast, right? You guys listen to the podcast about depression. Is so good, right? The podcast is Morning Coffee with PB, Morning Coffee with PB with Heidi. Please listen to that, get help. But today I'm just going to be talking about the feeling of anxiety, the emotions of anxiety that we all experience on a day-to-day basis, right? So what is anxiety, right? Anxiety is rooted in fear, right? When what is fear? You know, we all have natural instincts to have fear, right? If a bear comes to attack you, you will have fear, right? And that's natural. That's a part of us. Anxiety is worrying about, you're always anticipating fear, right? You're always anticipating, what if a bear comes out during the hike, right? What if I walk down the street and there's a bear that's going to come and attack me, right? You're always anticipating it, and this anxiety, it can be so consuming. It can be, it could just take over every part of our life and manifest in our body through stress. You can't sleep well. You can't live the life God intended you to be because of our anxiety, these feelings of anxiety sometimes, right? And it's all something we struggle with to an extent. And the disciples of Jesus, they are no different than us. They are human beings, broken. They are sinful, just like us. And even though they saw Jesus perform miracle after miracle, this fear, this anxiety is in them as well. And because they're broken human beings, here in this story about the storm, their anxiety comes out. And what does the good news say to those that are anxious? What does Jesus say to those that are anxious? So Luke 8, 22-25, I'm going to read it again. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up, rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked the disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Amen. And this is really a story about the disciples' anxiety and how Jesus meets them where they are. And there's three things I want to convey today. You could fill it in these blanks. I'm going to tell you the answers for the good students who want to fill it in. There's three things I want to talk to you about how Jesus addresses the disciples' anxiety. There's Jesus gives them purpose. He shows them purpose. He gives them peace, and he helps them prosper. Purpose, peace, and prosper. So first purpose, verse 22. "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." This is what Jesus says in verse 22. "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." The first question that comes to my mind is, what is on the other side of the lake, right? Why does Jesus want to go there? If you read after chapter 8, here's a list of the things that Jesus does after he crosses the lake. Immediately, he heals a demon-possessed man. He raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. A woman touches his garment. She's healed. He feeds 5,000 people, many more ministry meetings, the transfiguration, ultimately Jesus' death and resurrection. A lot of things happened on the other side of the lake. Jesus knows there's a lot he has to do before his time on earth is done. He knows his purpose, he knows his calling, and he doesn't have time to worry about all this small stuff. So let me ask you, where are you on your lake? Where are you on your lake? Do you know what is on the other side of your lake? Why don't you ask your neighbor, do you know what is on the other side of your lake? Right? Are you in a boat? Do you even have a boat? Right? Do you know what is on the other side of the lake? Do you know what you should be doing right now? Because if you did, is my mic on? I think my mic is, oh, it's back on. Thank you. Do you know what you should be doing right now? Because if you did and you knew God's exact purpose for you, what he's called you to be, you're not going to worry about all the little stuff that brings you down. Hebrews 12, 1-2 says it like this. This is the passage that we went over during Ecclesia this past Friday. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." This purpose, this calling, God has created each and every one of us in a very unique way. And when we struggle to understand his divine plan, we live with a sense of discontent, a sense of anxiety, and we're always questioning who we are, we're always questioning what we're supposed to do, and we ultimately even question who God is in our life. So I'm going to tell you the secret to knowing your calling. Are you guys ready for this? I'm going to tell you the secret. I'm going to tell you the answer. Are you guys all taking notes? Right? I'm going to tell you the secret to finding your calling. You have to know the voice of the caller. That is how you find your calling. The caller is more important than your calling. Do you hear the voice of God speaking to you every day? Does this voice give you power over the chaos in your life? You know, in Genesis 1, the earth was initially void, it was empty, it was dark, it was chaotic, right? And in that, God speaks, and he brings order, he brings life, he brings the power of the Holy Spirit through his voice. And we, as children of God, we all have access to that voice. We all have access to the caller. All we have to do is just tap into that call every single day, every single moment. When we sense that anxiety rising, we tap into the caller, the voice of the caller. Lord, what do you want me to do in this difficult situation? I don't know what to do. Lord, how should I respond in this situation? Lord, who have you called me to invest in today? Know the voice of the caller, because when you do, you will know what is on the other side of the lake. The purpose that God has for you. And the storm, it's not going to bother you because you know where you're going and you know what God has called you to go. Amen? Second, Jesus offers us peace. In verse 24, he says, as they sailed, he fell asleep. You guys ever have problems falling asleep? Struggle with sleep disorders? I mean, for myself, early in the pandemic, just in the summer, I just couldn't sleep, right? There was so much going on. You had COVID and you just didn't know, you know, so many people are passing away, dying. You had this political unrest. We had the election coming up. Just so much going on, so much anxiety. Just couldn't sleep anymore. There's so many thoughts just going in my mind. Like, what's going to happen to our country? What's going to happen to our world? Right? And you got the worst, like one of the worst parts is kids Zooming at school, right? Thank you, teachers, for all your hard work. But, you know, Zooming at school was so tough. And it's just your mind, your heart is just chaotic, right? And I can't sleep. You can't sleep. You know when you sleep, you know what it indicates? I think when you sleep, it indicates a sense of peace. Like, when you're able to sleep, you can say, oh, I'm satisfied with myself. I'm satisfied in my soul. I've done a good job today. I've done the best I could, and I deserve this rest, and I can sleep tonight. Do you have peace in your life? Even with all that is going on around you, even in the midst of the storm that you're facing, can you sleep? Do you have peace? Or do you lay there at night and that fear grows and grows louder and louder in the stillness of the night? Because finding peace in the middle of a storm, this is a skill that we all need to learn. Finding peace in the middle of the storm. Sleeping during the storm is a skill that we all need to learn. Because if you live long enough, you will face a storm in your life. It is a guarantee. And the storm, you think that storm might be difficult, but the more difficult storm to tame is the storm in your heart. This fear, the anxiety, the stress, the lack of peace, the lack of sleep in your heart, it affects everything. It affects our personality, our relationship, our jobs. It affects everything when we don't have peace in our hearts. And to me, Jesus is trying to teach us the skill you need to learn is to have peace during the storm. Because the only thing you can't control the storm, the only thing we can control is our reaction to the storm. And again, we have to listen to the voice of the caller. God, what are you saying to me right now in the midst of this storm? Right? Are you listening to your panic that says, this is not going to work out. This is going to end horribly. I don't know what to do. Are you listening to that voice? Or are you listening to the voice of God during your storm? Because when you listen to your fears and when you listen to the panic in your heart and you try to manage that anxiety and you try to take control of that situation and you try to do whatever you can to manage that storm, right? You're sick. Let's get all the best doctors you can. We can find the best medicine we can find. You're having relationship problems. Let's find the best therapist, the best spiritual directors, whoever. You know, let's try to pull our money together, find the solution. We can do that. And there's nothing wrong with doing our best. But where is God in all this? What is God saying to you in the midst of the storm? Because there's going to be storms that money cannot fix. There's going to be storms that human beings cannot solve. There's going to be permanent storms in our life with no end in sight. What are you going to do then? We can try to find our way out. We can try to manage the storm, take all the water out of the boat, do our best, keep doing it, right? But eventually, you're going to be exhausted and you're going to be just like the disciples who say, "Master, Master, we're going to drown. Master, don't you care about us? Don't you want us to live? Where are you, Jesus? How can you sleep in this moment?" But Jesus is trying to show them that he has peace in the storm. In this instance, Jesus has the grace to stop the storm, but he's most concerned about the storms in their heart. He wants them to know something. He wants them to know that he is with them. Isaiah 41:10 says it like this: "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you." You know, when we listen to God, it's not necessarily that the storms are going to go away. The storms might keep going after you listen to God. But what God offers is peace for the storms in your heart so that you can sleep through the storm. You know, it's like a child. The child, like my daughter, she doesn't want to sleep by herself because she's afraid there's monsters in the closet. So she comes rushing to our bed to sleep with us. And when she sleeps with us, there's peace because she's with us. There could still be monsters under her bed, but there's a sense of peace because she's with us. The situation hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed is who she realizes she's with. It's who you're with that gives you peace so that you can sleep through the storm. So let me ask you, who are you walking with? Who are you surrounding yourself with in your storm? A community of faith or people of fear? Where is Christ in your storm? Where is God in your storm? Because remember, Christ is always walking with you. God is always with you. In all circumstances, he's always with you. And that should give you peace in your heart. And finally, prosper. Verse 25 says, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" So let me continue how we need to respond when we're filled with fear. You know, in our fear, we're so quick to forget our faith. Like that fear just overtakes our faith so quickly. And it just shows you how small our faith is sometimes, you know? Fear, faith, you're going back and forth, and then that fear overtakes the faith. We're like fair weather fans, right? Just go back and forth between one side and the other. And people keep asking me for sports analogies every time I preach, so I'm going to give you a bad sports analogy, okay? We're like fair weather fans, right? You're like fans of the Golden State Warriors. Once they got Steph Curry, right? Where were you for Mitch Richmond? Where were you? You guys are like, who's that, right? Where were you for Chris Mullin, right? I'm sorry, Uriah. That was my sports analogy, okay? We love Steph Curry. All right, you go back and forth. Oh, fear, faith, fear, faith. I don't know what to pick. I can't go all faith. It's too risky. What if God doesn't come through the way I want him to? But however, one foot in the kingdom, one foot in fear, one foot in faith, it's not going to work. Ultimately, you're choosing to choose fear. And when you choose fear, that voice in your heart gets louder and louder. The anxiety in your heart gets louder and louder, and you can't handle it anymore, right? So how do we combat our fear with faith? We have to seek his kingdom, okay? Let me tell you what that means. Matthew 6:33 says it like this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? It means doing things God's way. It means doing things the king's way and advancing the king's message. And it is a gradual process with every small act that you take, right? Jesus says the kingdom is like a field or a seed or yeast in bread, right? All these examples, the field, yeast and bread. I don't garden, but I've seen my wife garden. I don't bake, but I've seen people bake. And it takes time, right? And it's slow. To garden something, you have to seed it. You have to water it. It takes time. To make bread, you have to break that bread and you have to bake it. And it takes time. It takes small things to get to that end goal. And seeking the kingdom of God is one small step at a time, one little act of obedience at a time. That is seeking the kingdom. It is deciding to choose faith over fear in this situation. God, this situation is a little bit hard for me. I'm going to choose faith. I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to choose faith. And you keep choosing faith. You keep choosing faith. And then you live in the kingdom. The king will protect you and it'll help you prosper, to live long and prosper, right? Live long and prosper. Do this here. Can you guys do this to your neighbor? Say, live long and prosper. And this is such a hard thing for us to do. I know it's a hard thing for us to do, right? We're reluctant to say, God, I trust you fully. I know the situation's going to work out. You're going to redeem all things. That's a hard thing to say sometimes. But if you start small, your faith will start getting bigger and bigger. It'll grow bigger as you take small steps of choosing faith over fear, right? Like, I see this storm coming towards me. I see the storm. I sense my fear, my anxiety coming up. But I'm going to choose faith, God. I'm going to choose faith. I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to trust in you. Small steps. Small steps. I'll tell you my first experience of choosing faith over fear, right? When I was, my sister and I, when we were young, I was 18. She was about 17. My parents, our business went bankrupt. We had no income. They had to move somewhere far to get a job, right? So my sister and I were living by ourselves, right? And my parents just started working. I didn't even have a checking account. We had no money. My parents were very far, couldn't provide anything for us. And we literally had no food to eat. We were living in this apartment. And then my sister is a prayer warrior. She's like, brother, right? We need to pray. I was like, all right, let's pray. Let's literally pray for food. Right? So we pray for food. And what do you know? We get these like In-N-Out gift cards in the mail. And I'm like, how did you do that? Right? Because I was new to the faith. I was like, I didn't know this could happen. Right? And next thing you know, people call us up. They're like offering to take us out for dinner or for lunch. Next thing I know, someone's leaving an envelope full of cash on our windshield. And God is saying, here, I'm here for you. I'm providing for you, right? And little steps of faith and all this. And now when things happen, I'm not worrying about it because I know God is for me. I know God is going to provide for me. I don't worry about these little things anymore. I have no money. No big deal. It is really no big deal because I've already been there and God has provided. Little steps of faith, it'll grow. You quench that fear out. Right? It's about small decisions every day. Happens one decision at a time. That's what it means to seek the kingdom of God, so that we can all prosper in a world full of storms. You know, I chose to speak on this passage today because it's a passage I need to remember every day, right? You know, just because we're pastors and leaders, it doesn't mean that we're immune to anxiety. In fact, we have even more because we have to carry the burden of the entire church. And you know, I deal with my own storms every day, at home, at work, with my family. Like, I always ask, Lord, what's going to happen in the future? What's going to happen with my kids? And I forget my purpose, I forget my peace, and I'm not prospering. And then you know what happens? I become the storm. I become the storm. And now I'm triggering other people's anxiety because I am the storm, right? I escalate the situation. And then other people turn into storms. And then we just become this giant storm, right? I don't even know if that's meteorologically correct, but figuratively, we become giant storms, right? And what else I do? I disengage, I escape, I find ways so that I don't have to deal with this storm. But that's not what I want. That's not what I want. And that's not what God intended for me, right? The good news of Jesus Christ is with those that feel anxious, that feel worried, that feel fearful. The good news of Jesus Christ tells us that Jesus is always with us, always. He's walking with us. He may even be sleeping in the back with us, but he's always with us. And what I have realized in my journey is that this feeling of anxiety, of fear, of worry, it's something I'd rather not experience, but it could also be viewed as a reminder or as a gift. Because when you reflect on your anxiety, when you reflect on your fears, and when you listen to your heart, when you listen to the fears of your heart is gonna tell you, these are the things you're really anxious about. These are the things your heart really values. And then you could hear your heart saying, I do worry about the future. I do worry about the kids. I am anxious about the outcomes. And it is a gift because these emotions reveal where God is not God over our lives. And this is a chance for repentance to occur, for an invitation of the Holy Spirit in those areas that we struggle with. And then you say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I'm going to drown. Help me. Lord, I invite you into my heart to help me with the storms in my life. Show me purpose. Give me peace. Help me prosper. And I believe Jesus can calm the storms around us, but most importantly, I believe Jesus can calm the storms in our hearts. I'm going to invite the worship team back up. And today we're going to take the communion. And the communion is to help us remember. This is an act of remembrance that Jesus is with us, his blood, his body. They have the power through the Holy Spirit to be with us. And we take this and we remember Jesus, what he's done, his sacrifice on the cross. We remember what he's done for us. And we say, Lord, we invite you to our future. We invite you into our heart. We invite you to our anxiety, our fears, our worries. So let's take a minute and just let your heart speak. Let your heart speak. Let your heart speak. God, what am I worried about? What keeps me from sleeping well at night? What am I fearful of, God? Reveal it to us, God. Reveal our fears. Reveal our anxieties. Reveal our worries to us. And then we say, Lord, we invite you to those places. And we say, Jesus, you come and conquer that fear with faith. We remember what you've done on the cross. We remember your body and your blood. And we believe you have the power to calm the storms around us and in us. Because you're always with us, God. So let us take the body. And let us take the blood. And let's rise and we're going to worship. And let's sing. And let's invite Jesus into our hearts. We say no to fear. We say no to the enemy. We say yes to faith. We say yes to an awareness of your presence. We say yes to your voice. Lord, speak to us. Be clear to us, God. Let us know you're with us every step of the way. I pray for all the battles and the storms that all of us face every single day. Lord, even though those storms may not go away, I pray, Lord, that your presence may be as strong as ever during those storms, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, give us purpose, give us peace, help us to prosper. Because God, we know that's what you want for us because you love us, God. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.